listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Students have been making their way back to the UW-La Crosse campus this week. Among the many things they'll be learning this year is the fact that the university's grounds will look completely different in a few years. That's because there are a number of major building projects underway, some beginning this year. Today, to talk about the upcoming changes at UWL and to look ahead at the upcoming school year is Chancellor Joe Gao. So, Chancellor, let's first talk about maybe this most recent round of building projects that at least have gotten the thumbs up from the UW Board of Regents. Still needs approval from the state, but we're looking at $62 million in building projects. Before we start breaking down the different details, I'm wondering if you can just maybe talk about why at this point in time the university identified these three as projects that needed to get done.
You know, we're in the middle of a really unprecedented period in the history of our school where we're able to do a lot of projects. Now, you know, there's many things at work there. I think one of the key things is that our enrollment has increased pretty significantly, you know, over the past, say, 20 years. And also many of the buildings on the campus were built long ago, 50, sometimes, you know, longer. I mean, the Wittig project that you mentioned, that building was created in 1916. So we're coming on 100 years on that building. So there's a lot of those factors, just making sure the facilities are as good as they can be, and then, you know, finding the funding for them. And that's something I think most people can't really appreciate, is some of this money comes from the state, and we're very grateful for that. But much more of it comes from things like fees that people pay to park. When we do improvements to the parking ramp, that's how we fund those. The new residence hall that you mentioned, that will be funded entirely by student housing fees. The rec addition that you also mentioned, that's going to happen by virtue of a student referendum, and they voted, the students, this is, to raise their rec fee a little bit to make some improvements there.
And that'll be $14 a year for students.
That's correct, yeah. And so what we try to do is to maximize all the potential sources and keep things moving forward, because as I say to students, you know, our goal is that when you're out in the world 10 or 15, 20 years from now and you have your UWL shirt or cap, people say, wow, that's a great school. It's always getting better. So a lot of planning that we do. Also, again, you know, the creative ways of finding the funding and using the space in a wise way. You know, we're the smallest campus in terms of acreage in the UW system. And so we want to make sure we use what we do have effectively. And, you know, that's one of the nice things. We're also going to be doing a new student center, and that'll happen in a parking lot over by Wimberley Hall. Well, long term, we will raise the current building and just keep that as green space. So we're always trying to strike that balance between the facilities and the green.
So some of these new buildings that have been approved, I'm sure people are a bit curious about it. Maybe let's talk about the addition at the Recreational Eagle Center. $7.6 million addition, and as you said before, this is something that was approved by students. So what exactly will be added, and why is it that you think that students wanted to put their own money towards expanding the rec center?
Well, it's important to remember this is an idea that came from the students themselves, and they said we would like more space for courts so we can play court sports, and also more space for some of the cardio machines. And, okay, let's talk about that. Where would we put it? What would it look like? What would it cost? And so we collaborate on that and then finally come up with a price tag. And then how would you spread that out over like 30 years in student fees? What does it look like on an annual basis? And then we do something that I'm really proud of, is we ask the students, do you think that's a wise thing to do? Now, some of the more cynical people, and I hear this from time to time, say, well, of course, students will raise fees if they don't have to pay them down the road. But, you know, that's how we got where we are today, is that generations make decisions for the future, what is, you know, prudent and wise. And we think that the cost of attending UWL, the total cost, is really a great bargain. And, you know, Kiplinger's recently did a study of schools that charge under $30,000 a year. What are the best values? We were number four in the entire country on the list. So I think we have very smart students, and they care about this institution. And when they see something that they want to have improved, not only for themselves but for the future, we find a way to get that done. And that's what happened in the case of this rec addition.
Some people can be critical of students approving, you know, future fees for future students. So is there ever a time when UWL would say, okay, no more, we're at our limit when it comes to student fees?
Yeah, I think obviously we would. I know certainly the regents, they have to approve this as well. And I've seen them at times say, you know, that fee that you're talking about, even though the students approved it, we still think it's too much. And so let's talk about how to reduce the scope of a project. You know, so and we have to report every year when fees go up more than 3%, there's a quite extensive process there. And the nice thing, and this maybe doesn't get as much attention as it should, the past 2 years, we've held the fees flat. So with the tuition freeze as well, it cost actually a little less to go to UWL this year than it did last year. It's kind of, you wouldn't expect that, but we have been able to do that through some refinancing on some of the parking funding and things like that.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, we're talking with UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao about the new school year. So another project that the Board of Regents okayed was the $24.6 million renovation to Whittock Hall. And as you said, it's over 100 years old. I think it's on the National Register of Historic Places.
It is, yes.
So is that one of the reasons that the university decided to renovate this building? Because, you know, as the university has gone through its changes in recent years, some buildings come down, but this one's being renovated.
The historic register means, you know, you don't have a choice about that. So I don't know that we ever really thought of it any other way. It'd kind of be like Main Hall. The building that I'm in is the original building. We just renovate. I mean, it's always going to be there. And I think Whittock's the same way. What we struggled with is the fact that right now it's really more of an athletic facility than anything else. We have
for
a wonderful gymnastics
team.
Program.
Sure.
And want to keep that strong. And also there's a therapeutic pool in there. And so we had to find places for those activities because the state won't, you know, provide the money to do athletic facilities these days. They want to see that all done like our stadium was, private fundraising. So, you know, we had to think about how can we create a project where we'll get their support and then do something for gymnastics. And so there's a really interesting plan that we're working on that we haven't talked about too much because it's pretty new. But we're going to put – we have talked about the fact that the College of Business Administration will go into Whittock, and we think that's going to be great for the future of that college. It's a very important one in the university. And so we'll make that – the home of the CBA, and then gymnastics. Originally, we were thinking about a standalone, kind of what they call a pole barn, which is not too impressive, but could get the job done. And then we thought, gee, you know, looking at all of athletics, really, what does the future hold? And we started to think, you know, it would be great to have an indoor field house that is better than what we have now. We have a indoor track team that wins national titles, men's and women's. We can't even have a meet in there, a championship meet, because it's not big enough and the proper facility. So if we built a new field house, we could take the existing space and cut it up into space for gymnastics, which would be bigger than what they have now, and wrestling and exercise and sports science, and you'd get very modern renovations there, and then this indoor field house, which not only would work for track and field, but also recreational activities that the students who aren't necessarily on a team, if they want to play soccer, they want to play basketball in the winter in particular. And so there's a way to do that. And again, it will involve a conversation with the students about a fee to build that new field house. And we're going to get that going very shortly here. We're going to be talking tomorrow night in the Student Senate about that and see what the senators think. So that looks like a direction that we'll be heading in, but still a little early on
sure.
that.
Even though it's early, is there any sort of projected cost for that or any idea where it would be housed?
There is, and I don't have it with me, so I don't want to misquote, but again, it would be, you know, a modest increase in fees, you know.
And more than a pole barn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is going to be, from what I've seen, some drawings and things, a really impressive facility. Now, it would go, and everything is dominoes, and I told you this is pretty complicated, on the area where soccer is played now, and then we would move soccer over to an artificial field that we would create on one of the parking lots in front of the rec center, and then we would do parking beneath underground that field, and we have the engineers and playing people that have all that worked out. So I'm always impressed at how creative our people are.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, I'm talking with UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao about the new school year. One of the final projects that was just approved by the Board of Regents is this new $30 million residence hall on 14th and Badger. Can you talk about that project and why we need another residence hall even after Eagle Hall went up just a couple years ago?
Yeah, you know, it is really impressive, the demand for on-campus housing. We're a university of a little over 10,000 students, and we have space for 3,300, and we fill that and then some. Eagle Hall, every room in Eagle is a triple room now, and originally that was not our plan.
It was planned to be double rooms?
That's correct. Okay. Now, fortunately, the ceilings are very high, and you can put another bed on a bunk bed arrangement, and it doesn't feel cramped at all. And the students report that, you know, they like roommates and things, and so it works pretty well. But we know that we're going to need more beds, and so we're going to create this new facility. And again, that'll be funded with student housing fees and a much needed. I mean, I'm sure we will fill that quite easily.
And just even having the extra space and creating more residence hall rooms, beds, the hall itself, I mean, does that allow for the university's admissions to grow by any means? Or
not really. And that's a question I get asked a lot as far as the size of the university. I think we're really pretty close to the optimal. You know, there's great demand. We get four applications for every space. So certainly we could take more students, but we want to protect that personalized experience. We've worked very hard over the past 5-6 years to add more faculty and staff to bring down the student-faculty ratio so that people get, you know, when I came here, it was 24-1, which is one of the highest it's the highest in the system and one of the highest in the country. And we've now come down to 20-1, which is a lot more manageable. So we're mindful of that. And then that issue about where do you put everybody, you know, is one that, I mean, we can't really grow over across La Crosse Street because there's a wonderful historic cemetery there. On Campbell Road, the outstanding Emerson Elementary School. Across State Street, you have a nice historic neighborhood. You know, I mean, there just aren't a lot of places where this university could move out into. So we're just making the most of what we have. And I would be surprised if we, you know, ever went above maybe 10,500. I mean, that's now in the future. I don't know, you know, with online education, whether that will continue to boom. I mean, that may have peaked now, and we do some online things, and they're great, you know, for people who like that format. But the traditional come live in a res hall and go study in a class with a professor and play on a team with a coach and get advising from somebody who will sit down and talk with you in person, that's still the big draw on this campus, and I think it always will be, and we're very proud of that.
I'm wondering if you can remind people of the other building projects that are in the works. You mentioned the student union before, which will that be underway this spring?
Yes.
Okay. And then the new science building, which as
that
many of people have said was long overdue.
Started early in 2016.
Okay. And then there's the parking ramp addition.
Yep, that one's
that
starting
just
this
approved.
Summer.
Okay.
Two more levels.
And then you talked about the possible new indoor track facility. Are there other building projects underway? Of course, there's
well,
a number
got
of
the
renovations.
Wittig renovation.
Sure.
And there's also something called a chiller plant, which will be right near where the new residence hall will be. And that's needed to chill the water to control the temperature in the new science building and the new student center. So you know, there's a lot of parts to this. It is pretty amazing all that we are doing. I mean, when you think about we did the Centennial Academic Building, Eagle Residence Hall, and the stadium and athletic field project. So in about a 10-12 year period, I think the total amount of projects, it's over $400 million. So we've just been very fortunate to be able to get some important things done at a certain point in time. I kind of doubt that this will be repeated anytime soon because it's just, you know, again, there's some buildings that are wearing out and so on. The thing that we will be doing ongoing every summer, we will renovate two of the older residence halls and work our way all the way through that cycle. That's an ongoing project as well. It's extraordinary. I'm glad we have talented people leading these things because sometimes I can barely keep up with it all.
Are other UW schools experiencing this much renovation and I guess building projects as UW La Crosse?
Well, I know that every time I'm in Madison, there are a lot of cranes in the air there, and they're, you know, it's just a constant improvements and things. And I know the other campuses are doing some great things as well. You know, the state, it's interesting, on the capital side, which is the money set aside bonding and then there's debt service and so on, we get very strong support there and are grateful for that. On the operating side, that's where things are much more challenging. And, you know, people will say, let's make an investment in a building. Sometimes they're a little less eager to do that in the people side. And so we wish we were seeing stronger state support for the salaries of our people. You know, the compensation is really lagging a lot of other states. We lose people all the time. Just the beginning of the year here, I learned we lost one of our most talented faculty members who went over to Minnesota. And I used to work in the Minsky system, and I know they pay much better than we're able to do in Wisconsin. So that's something that I guess I'm trying to be even-handed here, and we're grateful for the support for all the buildings, and people see that, and they say you're getting strong support. But on the other side of it, actually what we're able to pay our people and keep things running, that has been challenging.
And you've talked about this, and other chancellors within the system have talked about this for a while now. Is there any sense that this could change and this professors and staff could be compensated for what some of their peers are?
It's hard to say, and I guess I make that comment because things move in cycles. And right now I think we're coming out of a cycle where there was this great questioning of, is it worth it? Should you go to college? And we had a good conversation on that. But I think most people now say, well, yes, you should. I mean, it might not be for everybody, but the data are pretty clear on, you know, if you look at it just in terms of dollars and cents, for the cost of an education, the return on it in terms of your salary over your career is just exceptional. I think that the other conversation that's still going on is about the rising costs of higher education, and that's what leads, I think, many legislators to be sort of, well, you know, you guys figure that out. We don't really have the money to help you. And, you know, by the way, we think tuition is too high, so let's freeze that. And you know, that's great for students and their families, but it does have an impact on what we're able to do here at the university. And what we'd like to see is a return to the kind of support the state provided, you know, in previous times. But this certainly is not unique to Wisconsin, and it's something that's happening in all of public higher education. But, you know, I think common sense would tell you, well, if the state isn't going to fund it the way it once did, and costs do go up, I mean, utilities, healthcare, technology, how do you pay for that? It tends to be passed over to the students and their families. And that's why, you know, we're doing everything we can to try and hold down that cost. But if you have very little to work with, that gets difficult to do.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, I'm talking with UW-La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao about this school year. I wonder if we should talk enrollment. As you said, enrollment is... Where is it right
it's
now?
It's good. Yeah. And it's always a little tricky because things happen in this first week where maybe people come who said they weren't going to come,
sure,
or they leave because there's a family emergency. And so what the federal government does is say on the 10th day of the semester, that's the official census. So we're not there yet. So I don't have the final numbers. But the preliminary numbers, we had a goal of 1,975 students. We actually—
Is that freshman students?
Yeah, first-year students. And came in about five students over that target. On the transfer side, it was 550, and we came in about, the last I saw, like about 20 students below that. So, you know, the overall enrollment of new students is about the same as it was last year, which was a very good year. So we're quite pleased with that.
Another thing I want to talk with you about is this idea of remedial coursework. So UW System President Ray Cross, I guess, addressed the universities and the board recently about all the universities stepping up their efforts in working with college students who need remedial coursework. He had one goal of reducing the number of students who require basic math coursework, and another one of his goals was making sure students who need remedial courses as they enter the universities to actually finish their coursework in a timely manner. Can you explain what this situation is and maybe what we're seeing at UW-La Crosse in comparison to other universities across the system?
This is something that is vitally important because if students come to us and they don't have the basic math or English skills that, you know, we want to see, then they have to take a class, and it's non-credit. So right there, you know, they're spending time doing something that they have to do
time
it,
and
obviously.
Money.
Yeah. But yeah, and it's also costs something.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, I mean, obviously a big part of this is what's going on in high schools, and we... President Cross, Ray, is calling for much closer collaboration, and we welcome that. The other thing is what we can be doing before students get here to get them ready. And we are really, it sounds a little dramatic, but we're a pioneer in what's called a massive open online course, a MOOC. And we had the team here at UWL, and they got support from a Gates grant, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, so it was a pretty prestigious grant. To create an online remedial, or we call it developmental, math course that anybody of any age, anywhere in the world with a computer, can take this class for free, and it gets you ready to take the test, the placement test on math. And we've seen that people who complete this class and then come here and take the test, they pass it. So it's a really wonderful tool. It's out there. Anybody can access it. So the Regents, yeah, I just had the privilege of being at a meeting, and we talked about that too. Now, UWL, we're very lucky because the demand is high, so we can have pretty tough academic standards. Our remediation, it's only about 2% of the students need it. At some of the other campuses, it can run as high as 40%, into the 40s. So it's a critical issue for the future.
UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gao talking about the upcoming school year. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, Viterbo University is celebrating its 125th anniversary in La Crosse. We'll hear more about its history and future from President Rick Artman. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. And for updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.